Glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Your life will not remain the same again. So last week we concluded on metaphors for salvation, sanctification. And today we're just meant to move on to another metaphor for salvation. But then I want to take a break from teaching on metaphors for salvation. We'll come to that later. I want to address this. You know, it's just so strong in my mind to rather teach on confession of sins, confession of sins. In the body of Christ, there's a lot of divided ideas or suggestions or divided perspectives on the subject of confession of sins. And many times when people hear the word confession, what comes to their minds is asking God for forgiveness, pleading that God should forgive them, begging God to please pardon them for their sins and all that. So let's look through scriptures to see what confession of sins really is. Hallelujah. Let's see. Should a believer continually ask for forgiveness? Asking God and pleading to God for forgiveness of sins? Or is forgiveness a once for all thing? Is it a done deal? Hallelujah. We shall examine all these things from the scriptures. Let me start by re-emphasizing some of the things that I said at the beginning of this series. Matthew 26 verse 28. Matthew 26 and verse 28. Jesus speaking, Bible says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So clearly, remission of sins answers to the shedding of blood, answers to sacrifice. Glory to God. So remission of sins, which of course is the word aphesis in the Greek, it means liberty, freedom, pardon, you know. But then beyond pardon in the New Testament, we've seen how that forgiveness entails a setting free, a deliverance. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." So, remission of sins is a product of Jesus' sacrifice. And if you look at the Old Testament also, you discover that in the Old Testament, not much was being done with respect to asking for forgiveness. Not much was being done outside the system of offering sacrifices. Hallelujah. While the sacrifices could not take away sins, the sacrifices were shadows, illustrative of that which is to come. That is, the sacrifices were showing us that without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sins. Now, some have said that's just about the law. But this is Jesus speaking at Matthew 26, 28. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So clearly, remission of sins answers only to the shedding of blood. Hallelujah. It is not by shedding tears. It is not by crying or pleading or wailing. It is about the shedding of blood. Sacrifice. Glory to Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. And then we'll see Hebrews 10. Forgiveness of sins. Is it necessary for believers to ask for forgiveness on a daily basis? What exactly is the meaning of confession of sins? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9. I'll read from verse 16. Bible says, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you.' Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." Now, according to the law, you could stay on this verse and say, well, it is just according to the law and things like that. But the next verse, and you know, or the verses that follow, show you that the law was only illustrating that which was to come. Hallelujah. So while the blood of bulls were used in the Old Testament, the law was illustrating and foreshadowing the blood of Jesus as that which was going to be shed for the remission of sins. So that's why verse 23 says, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Bible says, while the copies of the true things were purified with the blood of animals, the heavenly things are purified with better sacrifices. So Jesus came to offer himself. Hallelujah. So forgiveness of sins answers to sacrifice. It is not by shedding tears. It is not by crying or wailing. It is by sacrifice. Hallelujah. Which the Old Testament illustrated. Glory be to God. So you notice that in the Old Testament, it was not that people were just walking up to God to say, please forgive us. They were offering sacrifices. Albeit the sacrifices could not take away sin, but then the sacrifices were illustrating and foreshadowing how God was going to cater for sin in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So look at Hebrews 10. Bible says, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Then when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. We've been sanctified through the offering of Jesus once for all. Hallelujah. So you see that forgiveness is about the sacrifice of Jesus. Just like in the Old Testament, forgiveness was foreshadowed or typified or illustrated by the offering of bulls, goats, and animals. Hallelujah. So without shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sins. Without sacrifice, there will be no remission of sins. Glory be to God. And then I think I explained this in the previous episodes, that it's not because God is bloodthirsty. It is not because God is desperately looking for how to slay somebody, you know, for the sins of the world. God can readily pardon, and we saw a lot of people being pardoned in the Old Testament without them even asking. We saw that in the ministry of Jesus also. People were pardoned without them even asking. So, but forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus is a deeper thing beyond pardon. God is not merely pardoning offenses. God is delivering men from the power of Satan, the power of darkness, and this necessitated the coming of Jesus in the flesh to partake of flesh and blood, so that through death it would destroy him who had the power of death. So Jesus had to contact Satan. He had to contact the realm of death to destroy him who had the power of death. Hallelujah. So there had to be sacrifice. There had to be shedding of blood. There had to be Jesus coming in the likeness of flesh, in likeness of sinful flesh, like every other man, in order to destroy him who had the power of death. Hallelujah. So forgiveness of sins answers to sacrifice. It is not by wailing, crying, weeping. Glory be to Jesus. Now, if we understand this, it makes it easier for us to explain every other thing. Look at verse 11, for instance, Hebrews 10:11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. So what was offered for sins? One sacrifice. So you see, sacrifice is what caters for sin. Not asking or pleading for forgiveness. Hallelujah. What caters for sin is sacrifice. You must never forget this. What solves the sin problem is sacrifice. Hallelujah. So the Bible says he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Verse 13. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. By how many offerings? One offering. Hallelujah. Jesus offered one offering. So there was an offering for sin. Glory to God. There was an offering for sin. Look at verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws in their minds and in their hearts. I'll write them, then he had their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more. Look at verse 18. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Have you seen that there was an offering for sin? Glory to Jesus. So we didn't become Christians because we were pleading for forgiveness and asking God to please have mercy on us. We became Christians because we identified with the work of Jesus. We believed in the sacrifice and in the offering for sin. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There was blood shed for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. There was the giving and the offer of life before we could receive the remission of sins. So remission of sins answers to sacrifice. Glory be to God. It answers to what? Sacrifice. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews 1, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had by himself purged our sins. So you see that sins answer to sacrifice. Praise God. It is not by pleading or by begging or by asking. If it was that easy and that cheap, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die. Jesus came to die for sins because that's the only way to solve the sin problem. Hallelujah. It is by sacrifice. Glory be to God. It is by sacrifice. Glory be to God. Look at this place now. Hallelujah. Luke 24 verse 44 to 47. Bible says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Look at verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I want you to mark the word necessary. He says it was necessary. Hallelujah. You see, the issue of this issue or the idea of shedding of blood, of offering sacrifice for sin, is not just one of those options. This was the only way out. This is the only solution. That's why the Bible says it was necessary for him to suffer and to die and to rise the third day. It was necessary. It's a must. This is the only way to address the sin problem. Hallelujah. It was necessary. Glory be to God. Look at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So the repentance and remission of sins that will be preached in his name answers to what he did, answers to his sufferings and to his death and his resurrection. Glory be to God. So you see, it's a necessity. Jesus died for sins because it's a necessity. That's the only way to deal with the sin problem. That's the only way to resolve the sin issue. Jesus had to die. He had to offer himself for the sins of the world. So we didn't become believers because we were pleading for forgiveness and begging God, you know, because we were wailers. Hallelujah. We became Christians. We became born of God. We became believers in Christ today by virtue of the sacrifice of Jesus and our identification with the same by faith. Our identification with the same by faith. It wasn't because we were pleading for forgiveness. So imagine this. We didn't start out pleading for forgiveness as believers. Why do you think we need to continually plead for forgiveness today that we are in Christ? Now that we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you getting the simple logic? We didn't have to plead for forgiveness to receive forgiveness in Christ, to be forgiven in Christ, to become born of God, to receive remission of sins. We didn't plead for forgiveness. Or perhaps you are listening to this broadcast and the reason why you think you are born again is because you were asked to confess all your sins and plead for forgiveness. Well, that's not being born again. We became born of God because we believed in the gospel. So we were not pleading for forgiveness. We only believed in the sacrifice of Jesus for sins. Hallelujah. So if we didn't have to plead for forgiveness before we became forgiven in Christ Jesus, why do you think we need to start pleading for forgiveness today, now that we are in Christ? Hallelujah. And we are coming to all that. So forgiveness, remission of sins, answers to sacrifice. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this, because it's going to help your mind as we study through scriptures to see how, to see what confession of sins means and to see how it is done and to see whether believers are expected to keep confessing sins now that they are in Christ. Colossians 1:13-14. Bible says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, he says we have it. Hallelujah. We have it. We are not looking for forgiveness. He says we have it. It's a possession. It's an inheritance. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is not something we are longing for. It is not something we are looking out for. It is not something we are waiting to get. It's our inheritance. It's what we have today in Christ Jesus. It's a present tense possession. We are forgiven. We have been forgiven. Our sins have been remitted. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 26. Forgiveness is an inheritance. Acts 26. Glory be to Jesus. Acts 26 verse 18. Glory to God. Acts 26:18. Bible says, let me start from verse 16. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Forgiveness of sins is the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. That's the inheritance of the saints. Colossians 1:13-14, which I just quoted. Let's go back to Colossians 1 now. And let's see from verse 9. Bible says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Look at verse 12, point of emphasis. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What is this inheritance? Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, so part of the inheritance is that we've been delivered. Verse 14, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So the inheritance of the saints, which Paul says we give thanks to the Father for, include deliverance from the power of darkness, redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sins. So we don't need forgiveness. We have forgiveness. It's an inheritance. Hallelujah. It is something that belongs to us. It is something we possess. It is our right in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then this forgiveness, like I said, is not just pardon. It is that we are set free from the power and the penalty of sin. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So there's such an emphasis on forgiveness being an inheritance in Christ. There's an emphasis on forgiveness being as a result of sacrifice for sin. So forgiveness is not something you get by pleading, shedding tears, and wailing, God, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Look at me. Just look at me. Some people even try to sound very spiritual. They say, consider the blood of your son. Just look at Calvary. See, that's not how to receive forgiveness of sins. You receive forgiveness of sins by receiving the gospel and believing what Jesus has done. The man that has believed the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection is the forgiven one. Hallelujah. He doesn't need to plead. He doesn't need to wail. He doesn't need to beg. He's forgiven. You know, one problem of many people is the fact that they think by getting very emotional with God, God will be moved to have mercy. Newsflash, God has already moved. And it wasn't because you pleaded or cried or wailed. God moved when you could not, when you could do nothing. God moved when you were in unrighteousness. God moved when you were yet a sinner. God moved when you could not plead. God moved when you were uninterested in seeking God. God moved when you were not inclined to anything spiritual. God moved when you were at your worst. Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man we won't die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. While we were still sinners. Hallelujah. So you don't try to move God to actions. God already moved on your behalf. Praise God. You don't try to move God to love you. You don't try to move God to forgive you. He already moved in Christ Jesus when you were yet in your sins, when you were still an ungodly person, when you were not seeking God, when you had no desire to seek him, God moved on your behalf. Hallelujah. The love of God is unqualified, unmerited, unconditional. It's not because you cried or wailed. It is because of his mercy and of his love and grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This reality of God's love as shown us in Christ Jesus is not something motivated by anything humans did. It's not something motivated by anything we did for God. It was not motivated by our pleading or our crying or our wailing or our request. It was not motivated by anything. That's why it has to be a revelation to us. That's why even when you are told, you find it difficult to believe because you never thought about it. Hallelujah. This is what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eyes have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. So you discover that these are things we never thought about. Glory be to Jesus. Reverend Ade Adebayo would say, if you were given a blank check, you couldn't have asked for the life of the Son of God in your wildest dreams and imaginations. You couldn't have asked for the life of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Nobody could have told God to offer his Son as sacrifice for sin. So imagine this. We didn't get saved. We were not forgiven in Christ Jesus by crying and wailing and pleading to God and asking God to please have mercy on us. We got saved and forgiven simply by having faith in the sacrifice of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Don't overrate your tears and your emotions and your sentiments. Don't overrate your ability to plead and bargain. Hallelujah. What brings remission of sins is the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Before you get busy assaulting heaven and bombarding the gates of heaven with your cries and your loud wailings, realize this. Remission of sins answers to the sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. God is not moved by your tears or your emotional sobs and your wailing and your shouting and your groanings. The show and the display of God's mercy and grace in Christ Jesus is self-motivated. God moved all by himself. Hallelujah. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The love of God and the display of his mercy towards us in Christ Jesus is self-motivated. Hallelujah. It is self-motivated. There are certain things you read in New Testament that are so staggering. Very staggering. Hallelujah. Back in the Old Testament, Proverbs 17:15, Bible says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Who justifies the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. You come to the New Testament. You come to Romans chapter 4 verse 5 of the New Testament. The Bible says, but to him that does not walk but believes on him who justifies the wicked, his faith is counted as righteousness. In Christ Jesus, God justifies the wicked. Hallelujah. So staggering. Hallelujah. The love of God is self-motivated. So we didn't become forgiven in Christ Jesus because we could wail, we could cry and plead and beg for his mercy. You know what Bible says? I would have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy. Hallelujah. Romans 9:14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Look at verse 16. So then, it is not of him that wills. It is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. It is not of him that wills. Hallelujah. So you don't receive mercy because you are willing to receive mercy. You receive mercy because God is willing to show mercy. Hallelujah. It is not of him that wills. It is of God that shows mercy. We didn't receive mercy in Christ Jesus because we were willing to obtain mercy, not because we pleaded for it, not because we cried and wailed and begged God, I won't let you go until you bless me. No, we received mercy because God was willing to show mercy in Christ. Hallelujah. And guess what? God has shown mercy to every man in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. John 3:16 alone knocks out the Calvinist theory. Hallelujah. The belief of those who are Calvinists, who believe that God has chosen some for salvation from the beginning, and there are people who God has not chosen. So, those who God has chosen are the people that respond to salvation. No, that negates the truth found in John 3:16. Whosoever believes, hallelujah, not some that God has destined for salvation, but whosoever believes. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9 is one of the portions of scriptures that people use to preach the doctrine of a partial election of people for salvation. But this is not what Paul is discussing at Romans chapter 9 verse 1 to 13. What Paul is discussing at Romans 9 1 to 13 is not salvation, but the election or the choosing between Esau and Jacob. The choosing of one of them for the furtherance of his purpose. You know, God made promise to Abraham. That promise passed down to Isaac. Now, Isaac gave birth to Jacob and Esau. Only one man will continue the lineage of the seed, which is Christ. So that one man had to be chosen. Hallelujah. So this is not about salvation, but God choosing one of these men to further the fulfillment of his promise given to Abraham. So God had to choose just one man, and God chose Jacob. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at it very well, God's choice of Jacob was not because of anything Jacob had done. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 9, verse 11, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. So there was nothing in these guys that made God choose any of them. Hallelujah. There was nothing Jacob had done that made God elect him. Jacob had not done any good thing. In fact, if we look at the character of Jacob very well, Jacob was not fit. Jacob was not to be qualified if it's by works. It had to be an election of grace. Glory be to God. So, Paul is not discussing salvation, God just choosing some and hating some. No. And the word hate here is a language of preference in the Greek. It is not that God hated Esau. God did not hate Esau. Otherwise, John 3:16 will not be written in the Bible. God so loved the world, the whole race. It is that God preferred Jacob to Esau to further the lineage of the seed. Glory be to God. So when it comes to salvation, God has shown love. God has shown mercy to the whole world. Hallelujah. God has shown mercy to the whole world, to the whole world of the ungodly. God has demonstrated his love in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not the sin of some of the people in the world, or some of the people that God has predestined, or some of the people that God has chosen partially for salvation, but the sin of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. My little children, these things I have written to you that you may not sin. For if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So God has shown mercy to the whole world. Hallelujah. And God showed mercy to us at a time in our lives when we were not seeking God. At a time in our lives when we all are turned to our own ways. Romans chapter 3, and I'll close on this today. Romans chapter 3, glory to God. From verse 9, Bible says, what then, are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Have you seen? There is none righteous. None is seeking after God. Have you seen? Verse 12, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He says, there is none who does good. There is none seeking after God. Hallelujah. You know, you find a lot of Christians say, oh, thank God, oh, I know where I was. I know where I used to be. I know the kind of things I used to do before I found God. You didn't find God. God was not lost. Hello? You didn't find him. God found you. Hallelujah. You were not seeking God. Jesus says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So you are not the one that sought out God. You are not the one that sought him out. You are not the one that found him. It was the one who found you. Hallelujah. We didn't seek God. He came to seek us. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Glory be to God. So salvation came to us, forgiveness of sins came to us, redemption came to us, not because we pleaded, not because we prayed, not because we wailed, not because we fasted, not because we humbled ourselves in sackcloth and ashes, but because of the love of God demonstrated in Christ Jesus and our faith in the same that identified us with what Jesus has accomplished. So we are the forgiven ones. Hallelujah. Now here's the big question again. If we didn't have to fast, pray, plead with God, beg for mercy, cry, wail, afflict our souls before we became forgiven in Christ Jesus, does it make sense now that we are in Christ Jesus to begin to plead for forgiveness and ask for mercy on a daily basis? Does it make sense? Does it make sense? And of course, the answer to that, we're going to find out elaborately in this study. That's why we're having this teaching concerning confession of sins. I trust that there will be light, illumination, enlightenment. Every confusion will be dispelled as we study on in this series. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Invite your family members, colleagues, friends, classmates, relatives, everyone at all, anyone at all, and let's come together to have a great time. Put on your WhatsApp status, social media handles, invite as many as possible so we can come together for this feast of the Word happening here every day with Jesus. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs and prayers, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.